Well, it's really the kind of the compilation of the bringing together of a number of different programs that the government have in place, where they're trying to migrate a lot of the kind of the paper-based systems into being a more online, more digital services. So to make it more convenient for people to be able to go online and do stuff. Like, for example, I had to renew my driver's license. Once I had my MyGov ID, I was able to just go in and do that online. Whereas before, I'd have to go in and make an appointment and do all that kind of thing. But they're also aware that not everybody is able to do everything online. So this was an issue, for example, in the UK. They went with digital only, which is where everything you needed, all your forms, could only be done online. They shut down a huge number of the kind of public-facing services that they had just to save money. And then they basically left a whole generation of people behind who wouldn't be that particularly tech-savvy. So there is a United Nations principle of what's called Leave No One Behind. This is a Europe-wide process that they're bringing in. So the government have signed up for that, and they're basically saying that while they are going to start to migrate things over to digital, make it a more integrated service, bring the different sections of the government together, so you'll be able to do your housing, your social welfare, you know, all that kind of stuff through there, your revenue online, that kind of thing. They're also committing to ensuring that there is an increase in deployment of skills within the communities and within the schools to ensure that you don't end up with a whole bunch of people literally being left behind, which again is the title of Leave No One Behind is what they're aiming for.
But there will be people, though, Pat, who will want to be left behind, who don't want to have a digital footprint, who don't want to engage with technology. Hopefully they will still be catered for.
Yeah, so what the government has said is that unlike the UK, they're not going to go for a digital only. They're going to go for what they call digital first, which is they would prefer if you did things online, but there will still be the facility for you to go in and do in-person meetings and you know, fill in your forms in that direction. Because, yeah, as you said, that's one tranche of people who just don't want to have any, you know, want my face online, they don't want this, that and the other. And they're perfectly fine, they're entitled to do that. And then you have the people who they're kind of more worried about, which are the people who just don't have the skills to do it, as opposed to just not wanting to do it. So they are committing to say that they will be digital first, but not digital only, which is good.
So everyone will be catered for. One of the plans, presumably, would be to go down the road of a cashless society, possibly maybe go towards using cards and those terminals in shop more often. We might just take a small clip. Evelina Shabinska, our producer, was out and about yesterday. She spoke to one business person in Ennis in relation to whether people should use cash or card and the pros and cons of that. We'll take a quick listen to that.
My name is Sohil. I own business in town called iPair. It's a mobile phone shop, Ennis County Clare.
What do you think about cash and card transactions? Do you believe that it is a negative thing if we go digitalized altogether?
See, there's a pros and cons, you know. So for business point of view, ask for my opinion. Obviously, we have to pay extra on every transaction we pay. Obviously, we have to pay for the card machine rental. Then you need to pay every transaction. I need to pay, for example, this certain percentage they charge on every transaction. So it is kind of extra expense. But what I have seen it since after the COVID, no one carry cash anymore. And people prefer to have just tab it and then close. But yeah, for business, obviously, it's extra expense, you know. We have to take. For example, we sell phones as well, and phones are obviously expensive. So because the company charges percentage-wise, so for example, if we are selling a phone worth 500 euro and the tax could be on top of it, be 25 euro from my pocket, we normally don't realize it, but, you know, it's quite expensive. A phone is, for example, if you sold two phones or three phones in a day, it's gone from my pocket, even though it's a huge amount. You know, we don't normally consider, but you have to kind of consider these things as well, because that top of extra expense.
And do you think in the future that it will be only card payments and phone payments and cash will no longer be with us?
It seems to be the case now, the way things are going on. We now have to think for extra expense. We need to add on the product price, you know. We are not doing it at the moment. I think in the future we have to do it.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks very much.
I don't know, Pat, do you remember about 25 years ago we had this Information Age Town project in Ennis, and we tried to go cashless and it fell on its face. Maybe we were too far ahead of the time. Do you think it's the way we're going to go? And the same with the other technology, we're going to have to allow for the fact that cash will still, well, it's not king anymore by all accounts, but should be still used.
Yeah, it definitely seems to be the trend that's happening, and you're kind of seeing not a kickback as such against it, but more and more places are now, like for example, small places like Chippers and so on are saying cash only. So I've been once or twice in a place like where I've been there, and somebody comes up and they go, "What do you mean you don't take card? No, it's only cash." Because for a small transaction amount like a bag of chips,
yes,
the cost of use of then on top of the person using a card means the place isn't making any money. So definitely for small unit transactions, that's got to be happening. But we are certainly moving towards cash only. Like I had to pay for something the other day, and I had to go and went to the parking machine, and it was only cash. And I was like, I don't have any coins or any money on me. So yeah. I had to go back and root through the glove box of the car to try and find a few coins. So those seem to be the way we're going. But the other downside, as was mentioned there by the person on the Vox Pop, was that there's a cost for the business for every digital transaction that happens. So perhaps maybe bringing that cost down so that it's more attractive for businesses to accept and keep accepting the digital transactions. It does cut down on fraud. It does cut down on people's purses and wallets being stolen because there's really no point anymore because there's no cash in them. So it does help that way. We do need to have a corresponding level of education of people who don't get scammed and don't get fooled. We did a regular piece on the morning show about that because, you know, it does happen quite a lot where you get a phone call saying, "I'm ringing you from Revolut," or "I'm ringing you from whoever." And there's always just to stress to everybody, they don't ring you. It's always through the app that you have to be careful of. So there's going to be a requirement of kind of a parallel development of an education and a backup for people who don't have the ability to use these systems. And there are great resources available. You have like community centres are really good. They run lots of courses and they give you a lot of help. And I always mention that the citizens information is a great resource for anybody who's stuck on anything that they want to do. I don't know how to fill the form in. I don't know how to do the stuff online. And that's a free government-funded service that's available. And they're in Ennis and Shannon and Limerick. And you can just go in and say, "Listen, how do I do this?" And they're literally talk you through the whole process. They're very, very good.
You'd hope, Pat, that the government will ensure that there is a particular team or department responsible for security. The more digital we get, the less secure we probably will get. We heard about the hacking of the HSE. That was incredible. That should never have happened. The more digital we get, the more prone we are to being conned and scammed. Is that fair to say?
Well, the big issue with all of these systems is the weakest point are the people. So the issue with the HSE was because somebody opened the link in an email that they shouldn't have opened. The Garda one there yesterday in the
PSNI,
north.
Yeah.
Somebody uploaded the wrong spreadsheet. Somebody did a Freedom of Information request, and instead of uploading the anonymized one, they uploaded the one with everybody's names in it. So it's always the weakest link are the people. So there's a rule in IT, which is every system is perfect till you add users. And that's when the trouble starts.
Of course.
So, It's training, it's people getting into the methodology of how to do these things before you click send, before you click the button to just think, have I done this correctly? Is this what I'm supposed to do? And that comes with training. And again, the government should be, if they're going to be moving us towards more and more digital, then they need to provide backup services and training and funding for organizations to provide people with the skills they're going to need to be able to do all of this stuff. And again, particularly the older generation.
Speaking of going cashless, we've heard, I think, overnight or this morning that the National Ploughing Championships will decline cash payments for this year's event, saying that the forms of payment accepted, this is Pascal Dunne who's saying that he respects their decision, but the bottom line is that the National Ploughing Championships going cashless, there will be 150,000 people or 200,000 people at that event. Security-wise, it's probably, you know, good, but there'll be a lot of people who will not be able to go to that event and possibly other events down the road because they won't go digital or can't go digital.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be a question of excluding people. So I think what they were looking for them to do was to maybe have one or two booths that you could go to if you wanted to pay cash and queue up to do that, but have the bulk of them to be cashless or purchase online in advance. I think it was more to do with crowd control because if they're selling the tickets online, they know exactly how many people to expect each day. So they're giving you a band of time on your ticket. So I think that was part of the reason, but certainly shouldn't be exclusive one way or the other, you know?
I suppose it's inevitable that we are going to become more digital as time goes on. Is it a good thing or a bad thing to believe, Pat?
Well, I believe it's a good thing. I mean, I love all the tech and I love all the gadgets and stuff that are around, but I mean, there are some people going to go, "Oh, it's, you know, Armageddon, computers are going to take over." And it's when we hear these very intermittent bad things happening, and that just puts people a bad taste in the mouth, and they don't like the whole idea of it. And you have people, as you said, who are just rebelling against the whole digital system. They want to stay offline, and they don't want to have any part in this. But I don't think that's going to really be a massive option going forward. I mean, you all see videos online of these people in the States saying, I'm a free citizen, I don't have to have a driver's license, I don't have to have this. And the police saying, yeah, I do. So, you know, to a certain extent, yes, but I mean, yeah, you have to be able to interact in some way with the government and state agencies.
Interesting times ahead, Pat. Thank you very much for your time this morning. As always, we appreciate it. Pat Clark-Brown from Munster Business in Shannon.